Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. You are locked into WKAR's current sports. It is Tuesday, October 29th. 2019, Halloween, just 2 days away. Happy early Halloween to you guys out there. It's Halloween week, I guess you can say, right? It's a cold and rainy one out there today. But I tell you what, Spartan fans, your mood is going to bump up a few notches. You know, if the weather's got you down or if MSU football has you down, well, turn that frown upside down because Michigan State men's basketball gets the season underway, exhibition play against Albion tonight at 7 p.m. inside of the Breslin Center. I will be there, and I'm looking forward to checking out what the number one team in the nation looks like. So we are going to preview that matchup. We'll talk about the news that broke yesterday during Tom Izzo's weekly press conference inside of the Brez that Rocket Watts will be starting tonight. And, you know, I kind of saw that one on the horizon. A little birdie told me on Friday night that Rocket will probably be the starter tonight. You know, and that's amplified due to the fact that, you know, Joshua Langford is going to be out until at least January with this recurring foot injury. That's when he will be reevaluated. And, you know, what's going to happen with that fourth spot? You know, who's going to start at that fourth spot for Michigan State? We'll talk about all of that, and we'll have a preview of Michigan State and Albion tonight as Cassius Winston will be taking on his two younger brothers. That should be a fun matchup. Just fun to watch and see, right? Also, on today's current sports, we will be taking a wide picture look of Big Ten football today. You will get my Big Ten football power rankings as they stand right here on this October 29th. All right? And I'll touch on Michigan and what they were able to do against Notre Dame on Saturday, as promised. And you know what? Have you seen, or read, I should say, the cover story centered on Imani Bates in today's Sports Illustrated? It's pretty amazing. There's actually a little video. I haven't seen the video feature. I did read the piece that was put together, authored by Michael Rosenberg this morning. And I must admit, you know, I have heard about the hype train that is Imani Bates. I have listened to many people talk about how good this young man is. Seen a few highlights, but prior to this morning, haven't done a ton of homework on just how good this young man is. And, yeah, he's a very young man. I believe he's only like 15 years old. He stands 6'9", long arms. He's got like a Kevin Durant body. I watched some of his highlights this morning, and it just blew my mind. And what further blew my mind was reading this piece by Michael Rosenberg and listening to what Imani Bates, reading what he had to say concerning his drive, concerning how he approaches the game of basketball, concerning his basketball future, who he studies, his work ethic. It's pretty amazing. This is a special, special young man, but I got a point to make. So, we'll get to that later on this hour as well. I'm looking forward to that conversation. we'll discuss Imani Bates. And I'm curious whether or not, because again, this kid is from Ypsilanti, Michigan. And I'm curious if I have any listeners out there, any current sports listeners out there, who have seen this 15-year-old phenom in person. If you have, I want to hear from you, and I want to know what your thoughts and impressions are. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, because I tell you what, I'm going to have to make a trip to a few Lincoln High basketball games this upcoming year, because the kid is pretty, pretty good.
You should ask your producer behind the glass if he's ever seen Imani Bates play.
So you have, Jack.
Yeah.
What'd you think? When?
UAD played against his high school in the state championship game.
Save it. We'll say that as a tease. I want to save that. So you have seen him in person. So you said UAD played his high school.
In the state final. State championship finals, last year.
Last year.
Yeah, it was his freshman year. Yep.
He didn't hit a game winner that game, did he? He had two game winners, though, to send them to the state championship, according to the piece.
Well, do you want me to talk now, or do you want me to talk after the break?
No, I'm just saying, I just wanted to clarify that. He didn't. That's not the game he hit the game winner.
No, UAD fell apart down the stretch. They were up like 10 points with like 4 minutes remaining, and they lost on a game winner, but it wasn't him who hit it, no.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, so we'll talk Imani Bates later on this hour. I'm curious to know what your thoughts were on that, Jack, and anybody who has seen this young man play, because, again, watching highlights this morning, this kid is... This kid can do a lot of things, and it's pretty impressive. I can't lie about that. All right. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there, and a few of you already are in commenting below that video. You can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. We mentioned this during yesterday's current sports, but if you haven't heard, the Michigan State men's basketball program will retire Draymond Green's number 23 jersey on Tuesday, December 3rd, when Michigan State will play host to the Duke Blue Devils. Green, who played in two Final Fours and won three Big Ten regular season championships, he earned National Player of the Year honors in 2012. In addition to being a consensus first-team All-American and Big Ten Player of the Year, this is what Green had to say about this honor. Quote, I was absolutely blown away when Coach Izzo informed me that my jersey would be retired at Michigan State. This is an honor that I don't take lightly and quite honestly will be one of the major highlights of my career. I am so appreciative of everyone in East Lansing, starting with Coach Izzo, who provided an opportunity for this young kid from Saginaw to achieve my dreams and laid the groundwork that has enabled me to become a champion. It is simply awesome to think that my jersey will hang in the rafters along with the likes of Magic Johnson, Mateen Cleaves, and Steve Smith, just to name a few of the iconic Spartans in our rich basketball history. Michigan State men's basketball, as I mentioned, takes on Albion in an exhibition game tonight at the Breslin Center. The one and only tune-up before the 2019-2020 season officially gets underway come next week against number 2 Kentucky in the Champions Classic. Tonight's game, tip time at 7 p.m. You cannot watch this game on your television. You can, however, stream it online if you have a BTN Plus subscription. So that means that the Big Ten Network Student U will be on the call. The Student U, I'm an alum of the Michigan State Big Ten Student U internship here at MSU when I was in college. And students get a chance to broadcast and, you know, sharpen their broadcasting chops on the air. Always always interesting listening to the up-and-coming, aspiring student broadcasters.
So, again, BTN Plus tonight, 7 p.m., Michigan State and Albion. All right, Michigan State women's basketball hosted the inaugural tip-off event on Monday evening at the Hall of History inside of the Breslin Center. The event allowed us media members to meet the 2019-2020 women's basketball squad and head coach Susie Merchant. Senior guard Tara McCutcheon, I'm really excited to see her in her senior season now, one of the leaders of this squad. This is what she had to say about going into this year. Quote, I don't even know how to describe how excited I am. It feels like I've been here for 7 years. This group of girls, I am so excited about them and the chemistry. We have been having fun and the season hasn't even started yet. It's an amazing group of girls to come in, and the group I'm leaving with, I couldn't be happier. So, awesome, awesome stuff. The Michigan State women's basketball season will get underway tomorrow at the Breslin Center. Exhibition game against Ferris State. All right, Michigan State men's soccer begins the final week of the regular season with the annual battle for the Big Bear Trophy tonight, 8 p.m. at U of M Soccer Stadium. The game will be televised on the Big Ten Network with Dean Linke and Chris Monroe on the call. MSU is 3-9-3, holds a 3-2-1 record in the Big Ten Conference. Michigan is 7-4-4 overall, 2-1-3 in league action. Last time out, Michigan State lost a heartbreaker to Northwestern 1-0 on October 25th, just 4 days ago. The Wolverines tied Wisconsin 1-1 in double OT on October 25th. So, been a tough year for Damon Rensing and his squad, but when these two rivals meet, I don't care in what sport, the records kind of go out the window. So, Spartans, Wolverines tonight at 8 p.m. in Ann Arbor. All right, the Big Ten Conference also announced on Monday that the Michigan State football game against Illinois next week in Spartan Stadium will kick off at 3:30 p.m. November 9th. The game will be televised on Fox Sports 1. Spartans sit at 500, 4-4 overall, 2-3 in the Big Ten. Have their second bye week. Odd quirk in the schedule here because, you know, you had a bye week just 2 weeks ago, and now you play a game and have another bye week. Just weird. But they take on the Fighting Illini, or should I say the Fighting Lovey Smiths in East Lansing on November 9th. O.J. Simpson thinks that Jim Harbaugh. Hey, hold on. First off, Jack, do you follow, please tell me you follow O.J. Simpson on Twitter, because it's one of the highlights, in my opinion, of the Twitter sphere. It's hilarious.
I do not, but I mean, his tweets always come across my timeline whenever he puts out a video.
Yeah, he's always being retweeted, and people are always, you know, commenting on the post that he has. I tell you what, it's just pretty funny listening to the juice sometimes, knowing about his troubled history.
I think it's a morality thing for me that I just can't follow him on Twitter. I can just, you know, see his videos when they come across my timeline.
Yeah, but it's so funny because he's living, you know, like Lil Duval would say, he's living his best life, man. He's just living his best life. You know, it's not like, you know, he doesn't even address what's happened in the past. He's just like, I'm living my best life. I'm here on the golf course now. Hey, it's the juice coming back at you, giving sports commentary and analyst. So anyway, O.J. Simpson, after commenting about Bill Belichick and, you know, Bill getting his 300th career win and him being one of the greatest coaches of all time, he tells a story of, you know, when he was a broadcaster, Bill Belichick invited him and the broadcast team over his house and even offered them to spend the night if they wanted to on a snowy day. You know, that's OJ for you. Then he goes on to proceed and talk about the Cleveland Browns, who the Patriots beat on, I believe that was Sunday Night Football, right? That was a Sunday Night Football game, I believe, right, Jack?
The Patriots?
Patriots in Browns?
No, it was the game of the week. It was 4:25.
Oh,
it was the afternoon game.
It was the afternoon game. Okay, who was that? Oh, that was the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, Chiefs-Packers. The Fighting Matt Moores against Aaron Rodgers, yep.
Right, thank you for that correction, man. So the Patriots beat the Browns. So he goes on to talk about the Browns' struggles this year. They have tremendously underachieved so far throughout this part of the year, I should say. Here is O.J. Simpson suggesting that Jim Harbaugh may be the right man to come in and correct things out in Cleveland.
You know, a lot of great college coaches don't do well in the pros. Jimmy Johnson, Pete Carroll, exception. But there's a guy that was a good college coach that I think was better as a pro coach, and he's right next door to you, Cleveland. His name is Jim Harbaugh, and I think he's the elixir to all of your problems. I'm just saying. Take care.
I don't know about all that, but I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised, Jack, if the Cleveland Browns did give Jim Harbaugh a call. And I think Jim Harbaugh, he'll probably be in the NFL after this year, another year in which he underachieved as head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cleveland Browns gave him a call.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the Cleveland Cavaliers, because if that were true, that would be the second Michigan coach this year to be plucked away by the city of Cleveland, their down south rival. But, No, I agree with you. I mean, I think at this point, Jim Harbaugh's career basically comes down to how they perform in this Ohio State game. And I believe if they lose to the Buckeyes for the fifth time in his tenure, I believe he absolutely should be fired. And I think the Browns or the Bears are the two teams that would make sense for Harbaugh. So I could see it, you know.
Hey, the juice may be on point here. Now, as far as him being successful as head coach of the Cleveland Browns, if that does indeed happen and he is hired as the next head coach there, we'll have to wait and see. Baker Mayfield is tremendously overrated.
He stinks. He absolutely stinks.
All the hype about him, and you know, I mean,
he had a great rookie year. He did have a great rookie year.
He did. It was above average, but
it was great for a rookie.
You look at though all of the commercials. This brother. Every time I watch the NFL on Sunday, all of the commercials and endorsements that this dude has right now. It's amazing. It truly is amazing.
Well, I mean, I think that speaks to his personality more than anything else. I mean, Cam Newton's got a bunch of commercials, too, and Cam Newton stinks.
Cam Newton does not stink.
Yeah, he does.
Jack.
Cam Newton absolutely stinks.
Stop.
Cam Newton's career is over.
Get to the Super Bowl.
Outside of Cam Newton's MVP season, he's had, like, a pretty underwhelming career, and he's been very bad his last several years.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's definitely on a downslope right now, but I wouldn't say he stinks.
At this point in his career, I would say Cam Newton stinks. Yeah.
See, your definition of stink. We've talked about
what's his completion percentage so far this year. I know he's been out the last couple games. It's like 55%.
I admit that, but there's a lot of problems with that Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I understand, and he's a big part of it.
Okay, I'm not even going to go into this debate with you right now. See, the show is off the rail. Let me try to put the wheels back on the track right now.
517-355-9527. In 2019, does Cam Newton stink? Give us a call.
Right now. When the man is hurt, he's played, like, what, three games this whole year?
Okay, but before he was hurt, he stunk this year, too.
Oh, boy. Okay. Pistons Pacers. The Detroit Pistons ended up topping the Indiana Pacers last night, 96-94, thanks in part to a Derrick Rose game-winning layup. He has been awesome. So, let me knock on wood, because, again, it's Derrick Rose, but Derrick Rose has been great this year for the Pistons so far through four games. The Pistons sit at 2-2 now with that win. And how about Christian Wood? A guy who I said would have a breakout, would be one of the breakout players for this team so far this year. He had 19 points and 12 rebounds in just under 24 minutes last night. So I love watching the kid play, and I think he's just going to continue to get better and be a key part of this team as the year rolls along. And the Detroit Red Wings acquired forward Brendan Perlini from Chicago yesterday for defenseman Alex Regula. Did I get that right, Jack? I think I got that right.
Basically, yeah.
Perlini was the 2014 first-round pick of Arizona, 12th overall, has played 200 NHL games with 72 points, scoring 17 goals during the 2017-18 season. Perlini, a former teammate of Dylan Larkin, played youth hockey with Belle Tire, has played in one game with the Blackhawks this season. Regula was a 2018 third-round pick of the Wings and plays with London in the OHL. And as the trade deadline nears in the National Football League, not every player tossed in the rumor mill will be spit out wearing a jersey. All right, Detroit Lions corner Darius Slay has been one player discussed who could possibly be available at the deadline. Two-time Pro Bowler and former All-Pro will likely want a new contract this offseason and has missed two games due to injury. The NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, he said on Good Morning Football today that the asking price for Slay remains, quote, incredibly high. Just how high, you ask? Well, Garofalo adds the Lions have let it be known to teams that compensation would have to be close to what the L.A. Rams gave up for Jalen Ramsey. So Ramsey, he went for two first-round picks and a fourth-rounder. So
So we'll see what happens. You know, the whole storyline around Darius Slay has been quite interesting this year. You know, I highlighted, I think it was last week, you know, about Darius Slay, you know, basically being very candid and very honest about how he views the NFL now as a business, because it is a business. He was certainly not happy with Quandre Diggs, his homeboy, being traded to the Seattle Seahawks. And he just kind of looks at it like, all right, I'm just going to go out there and do my job, but I know that this league and this team ain't loyal. I'm just going out there and playing football. So we'll see what happens with the future of Darius Slay. Jack, do we know what time the deadline is for the NFL when it comes to the trade deadline? If we can just Google that and let us know, but I'm not sure when that trade deadline
is. Yeah, it's 4 o'clock. It'll be today at 4 o'clock, yep.
Okay, 4 p.m. 4 p.m. is the trade deadline in the NFL, and if anything breaks, I'll try to hop on Twitter at some point this hour and keep you guys updated on any developments there. Okay, that does it for your current sports quick hits headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's keep it pushing. Spartan fans, you will get an opportunity to smile a lot, I believe, tonight, because I know you have not been in a great mood due to what happened this past weekend with Michigan State football. We highlighted that mess. That's the only way I can describe it. You know, the mess that was the Michigan State football blowout at the hands of Penn State on Saturday. We highlighted that pretty much the entire hour on the Monday edition of Current Sports. If you missed that or any show in Current Sports history, you can simply go and pay a visit to WKAR.org and take a listen to that. But on today's show, I'm hoping to pep up that mood a bit, because Michigan State men's basketball gets underway tonight. And you know what, Jack? Let's do this. Because I mentioned on yesterday's show that each and every home game throughout this Michigan State men's basketball year, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to Michigan State men's hoops. So, I don't know. Jack, I'll let you come up with this. Should we do it like, you know, caller number 5 or 6? Or should we have them answer a trivia question, or first caller to call in gets the tickets? How you want to run that, man? You're the man behind the glass, so I'll let you choose today.
Ooh, that is a good idea. Well, give me a second. I'll get back to you on this.
All right. I'll put you on the spot there. So, yeah, let me know. We got time. We still got, you know, a lot, about 40 minutes left in the hour. So, again, 2 pair of tickets to check out the number one team in the nation. Jack is going to cook something up for you guys if you want to win those, so keep it locked. Current Sports, all right? If you call now, the tickets aren't yours. I can see people now. Oh, I'm going to get ahead of the game right now and just call in right now. No.
All right, simple enough. Okay. MSU, an impressive run to the Final Four last year. The fourth caller gets the tickets.
Fourth caller. Fourth caller right now gets 2 tickets to check out Michigan State and Albion at the Breslin Center, 7 p.m. tip time, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Fourth caller gets those tickets. While you guys are blowing up the phone lines, let's talk Michigan State and Albion, shall we? Because it should be a fun night. You know, Albion is not a world-beating team. It's an exhibition. And, you know, when you talk about the beginning of the season in college hoops, and you look at the Blue Bloods like Michigan State, when you take on an exhibition game, it's kind of a warm-up, right? That's why they call it exhibition. It doesn't count toward the win and loss record. It's an exhibition. It's a tune-up. I don't want to say practice because it is a real game, but it's an exhibition game. And, you know, it's just going to be cool to see what this team, kind of what this team is going to look like this upcoming season. And, you know, the really sexy storyline here is the fact that, you know, Cassius Winston is going to be taking on his brothers in this matchup. And that's really why, you know, this game came to the fold. You know, when you look at exhibitions, it's usually some kind of cool tie to a player or, you know, when it comes to Tom Izzo himself. But, you know, Cassius Winston, you know, playing as his brothers tonight, sophomore Zachary Winston and freshman Kai Winston. Those are the two players that will be rocking it out for Albion. So, you know, Winston, he's played against his brothers in open gyms and, of course, for fun and growing up. You know, he played with his brother Zachary on varsity in high school, but has never played against them, you know, in a game setting. So, you know, this game will serve as really a get-together for the Winston family. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of purple and gold in the stands supporting Zachary and Kai. And I'm pretty sure there'll be a lot of Winstons in the crowd. So that's always cool to check out that. And, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, though, because you do want to see Cassius go at it against his brothers. But at the same time, you know, Cassius Winston, he is the most valuable part of this team. We all know that. Cassius Winston is the engine that drives this preseason number one squad in the nation. Cassius Winston is a player that was in the National Player of the Year talks last year. He, without a doubt, was the best point guard in the nation. He has been picked as the preseason National Player of the Year for this upcoming season. He moves the needle for this team, and this team will only go as far as Cassius Winston takes them. So when you have when you put that in perspective and you think to yourself, okay, this is our most valuable piece on the board, you don't want to overwork them in an exhibition. You know, I would definitely limit the minutes for Cassius Winston. I don't know. He may play, I don't know, the majority of the first quarter, and then from there on out, I'm putting him in here and there. I'm letting other guys get minutes. I'm letting, you know, a lot of the freshmen get some time out there on the court. I am not going to exhaust Cassius Winston. You know, the other big storyline in this game is the fact that, you know, Tom Izzo, he approached the podium yesterday and said that Rocket Watts will be the starter. He's going to be a starter, I should say, for this team tonight. And, you know, Rocket, and you could tell, just watching, you know, those who attended MSU Madness on Friday night and you watched the brief scrimmage that was held, you know, Rocket, you could just tell the dude is just so confident. You know, I was talking with, you know, colleague Rico Beard. We were on the side watching the exhibition match together. Well, not exhibition match, excuse me, the scrimmage together. And we were just saying to ourselves that, you know, Rocket Watts, He just looks like a baller, doesn't he? When you look at him, his swag, just the guy, the way he moves, you know, the way he walks, the way he talks out there on the court, he just looks like a basketball player. And this is the big thing with Rocket. He's not going to be one of those freshmen who is afraid of the moment, who is kind of walking on eggshells and, you know, is maybe afraid of Izzo reaming him during a timeout for making a mistake or three. Rocket Watts is a man who just isn't afraid. He's not afraid to let the ball fly. He's not afraid to shoot and be aggressive. I like that. I like that a lot. And the fact that, you know, Joshua Langford is out until at least January, Rocket Watts is the guy that I think everybody is looking at to say, okay, this is who has to step up. You know, we invited Deshaun Tate on the show at the end of last week, and that's exactly who Deshaun Tate looked at and said, yeah, that's the guy that's got to step up now. Deshaun Tate of 92.9 The Game, college basketball aficionado for CBS Radio. And, Kyle Arns is out too. I don't know if you guys saw that news, but Kyle Arns has an ankle injury, and you know, Izzo is taking that very serious, as he should, and is going to, you know, he's going to be reevaluated, I'm guessing, before the Kentucky matchup. But Kyle Arns is out. Josh Langford's out. So this opens up opportunity for young pups like a Rocket Watts to go out there and see what happens. Now, when it comes to that fourth spot, you know, everybody's going to be kind of looking to see, okay, who takes over that fourth spot down low. And right now, I think that it's going to be, I mean, I think the safe pick is Thomas Kithier here. I think when you look at Kithier, you say, okay, he's good all around. And Tom Izzo talked about yesterday during his press conference, when I went back and listened to it, that he really likes the chemistry that both Xavier Tillman and Thomas Kithier have when they are on the court together. When those two are on the court together, there is some kind of synergy that just works between those two. Eventually, though, Tom Izzo said that he would like to see Marcus Bingham emerge as that guy, because Bingham, you just look at him, and he is so tall, so lengthy, and even, again, it's a scrimmage during Midnight Madness or MSU Madness, for goodness sake, so I'm not drawing a lot of stock in what I saw, but I did see Marcus Bingham swat at least three balls away from guys who were trying to penetrate and go to the hoop. He's just so long, he's naturally going to cause problems because physically, he is so long and lengthy. And, you know, Izzo joked when he came out with that incredible Hulk, you know, suit on Friday night that, yeah, I want you to look like this by the time your senior year hits. And I must admit, you know, Marcus has, you know, because he came in as a string bean. I mean, he looked like Tayshaun Prince last season. He has put on a few more pounds, but he's still skinny. He's still got a ways to go, you know, and he's still a young man whose body is developing. And, you know, his metabolism is probably through the roof right now. And, it's, you know, even though he's putting in a lot of calories in his body, you know, every time he hits that basketball court, he is burning a lot of calories on top of having a fast metabolism. That's just how it is when you're a young man, you know, and you're that size and you're already skinny as a string bean. So I think that he has added a few more pounds, but still he's got some ways to go. But it would be cool to see Marcus in there. Because he can also stretch the floor a bit. It would be cool to see him eventually, you know, hold down the fort as that fourth guy. And then you bring up Gabe Brown. Gabe Brown is a name that you look at as well. You know, Gabe Brown, he is Mr. Energy. You know, he can also stretch the floor. We saw his shooting ability, you know, really come to fruition in moments last season. He's a guy that will also be competing there. But at the end of the day, and we're still waiting word here, I thought that we were going to get word last week about transfer Joey Hauser. I think that everybody is saying to themselves, including Tom Izzo, that if Joey Hauser is ruled eligible by the NC2A to immediately play after transferring, I think Joey Hauser is going to be that guy. He's very, very talented. He was all conference last year. The kid can ball. And I think that I don't know when we're going to get word. I don't know what's taking so long. At this point, it's anybody's guess. I don't think anybody has some kind of inside information that, yeah, Joey Hauser is going to be ruled eligible right off rip. We don't know. If somebody's saying that, I think they're lying, all right? We just don't know. Everybody is kind of up in the air with this thing. But Izzo is preparing for both scenarios. If they rule that Joey Hauser has to sit out a year, then cool. You know, Izzo's got a lot of weapons he can go to. But if he's ruled eligible, boy, that's going to be really, really nice. That's going to be a really nice immediate addition to this Spartan team that's already really good. But also the fact that Josh Langford is out, to have Joey Hauser now immediately eligible, if that in fact comes down the pipe, that's going to be awesome for this team. So I'm excited tonight just to see what this team looks like. We all know that during exhibition matchups, Izzo loves to tinker with different lineups. He loves throwing certain guys here and there and experimenting to see if later on down the road in a tight situation to throw a team off, he can go to a certain lineup that he liked and that he saw during maybe an exhibition game. You'll see a lot of tinkering with the lineup. You'll see a lot of guys in there. Heck, you may even see Steven Izzo out there, for goodness sake. If this is a blowout like everybody expects, Jack, can we look up? I'm wondering what the line is on this game, Michigan State and Albion, but I'm pretty sure it's...
I'm going to guess there's probably not even a line on this game since it's not an exhibition.
Yeah, since it's an exhibition. They don't usually... Do you usually have exhibition lines like that? I don't even think so, but I don't know, maybe. But yeah, Michigan State tonight at 7 p.m., it's going to be a really fun night, and for me... those are the two things I'm watching. Just the interaction between Cassius and his brothers is going to be really cool. And also, you know, Rocket Watts, just to see Rocket out there, to see how he deals with being a young pup, being a freshman who is starting. Again, granted, it's an exhibition game, but, you know, to start your first time in a green and white uniform in an official game, that's got to be pretty big for him. And... You know, to see how he deals with that. Will there be nerves, or will I believe that? Again, just looking at the kid, I don't think that he's one of those kids who just gets nervous. I mean, sure, there may be some butterflies before the game, but once that ball is tipped, I think that Rocket will settle in quite nicely. And I'm excited to see how aggressive he is in his first game in a green and white jersey. Jack, you got a chance. You know, you going to the same high school. You tout this a lot. You went to the same high school as Cassius Winston and the Winston brothers. U of D, right?
U of D Jesuit, yes, sir.
You got a chance to see, I'm sure, his younger brothers as well. What are your impressions of Cassius' brothers?
Well, so his younger brother, Zach, he's a year or two younger than Cassius, and he labors up the floor just the same as Cassius does. Not exactly the most majestic or most elegant the way he gets up and down the floor, but that kid can really shoot the ball. At least he could when he was in high school. So I would imagine, you know, he played two guard for U of D, came off the bench a lot, but then also started, I believe, his senior year and maybe his junior year as well. His best attribute, from what I could tell, was always his ability to shoot. And then Kai Winston was always the tallest of the Winston brothers, but I never saw him in high school because I believe my senior year he was in eighth grade, so, or something like that. He was never on varsity when I was in school with Cassius, so I saw him last season for the only time when U of D went to the state championship game, as I mentioned earlier, when they faced Imani Bates. He came off the bench for U of D in that game.
Nice. Okay. And for you, Jack, who do you think is gonna hold down that fourth spot?
Well, I generally think I pretty much agree with everything you said. I mean, if Joey Hauser becomes eligible at that point, it's a no-brainer that I think it'll be his spot all season long just because of how impressive he was last year at Marquette. Mm-hmm. But I also agree with you in terms of you know, the relationship between Thomas Kithier and Marcus Bingham, just because, you know, Kithier was the guy who got onto the court last year, was able to make some plays in that Big Ten tournament, and even earlier in the season as well, whereas Marcus Bingham really couldn't find his way onto the court because he was so, you know, he was so lanky for how tall he was. So I believe, you know, in the immediate future, in the right now, you know, Thomas Kithier could probably help the Spartans more than Marcus Bingham, but down the road, I think Bingham has the higher ceiling. So ideally, if you're a Spartan fan, when you get into, you know, the February, the March, the April, hopefully that Marcus Bingham would be the guy starting at the four.
I hope. I really hope. Yeah, because, you know, you look at him and you say, wow, I mean, he's just so tall. Just the fact that he's so tall and lengthy is just... It just automatically makes him, you know, physically intimidating to a lot of opposition. So, all right, let's hit our first break. Oh, before we do, well, you know what? Let's hit our first break. We'll come back and announce the winner of the tickets for tonight's game. That and more, folks. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished just a brief preview of Michigan State men's basketball taking on Albion tonight at 7 p.m. Your first look at the preseason numero uno team in the nation. Tom Izzo, I tell you what, he's got an embarrassment of riches this season when it comes to his team. And congratulations to Tim from Lansing, who has won a pair of tickets to check out tonight's game. Congratulations, Tim. Jack will let you know how you can pick up those tickets. And again, we're giving away a pair of tickets throughout this, a pair of home tickets to every Michigan State men's basketball game throughout the year. So again, keep it locked. If it's game day and it's 1 p.m., you know, set an alarm if you're not tuning in on the regular, like, oh, it's game day. I know Al is giving away a pair of tickets.
Wow. So that means when the Duke game rolls around, we're going to have to think of a creative way to give those tickets away.
That's exactly where I was going next, Jack, because I'm reading a comment here from Ben, who commented on our Facebook page and says that I think it stinks that the ticket offices on campus are holding the tickets to the Duke game for season ticket holders, students, and alumni only. I don't know if that's
going to be huge. This is going to be huge.
It's going to be big, man. So we don't try and rob me. All right. I'm just I don't want anybody parked outside of the Communication Arts and Sciences College. Like, where is Al Martin at? I know he's got those tickets. All right. Don't do that. My Detroit West Side hood flavor will come out. You don't want those problems. OK, but yeah, we're going to have to come out with a really creative way, Jack, to give away those tickets early December, because that's is going to be probably the hottest ticket
by far
since I've been here. Yeah, in East
absolutely.
As a student or working here as a professional. So yeah, that's going to be crazy.
I have a pretty good idea already. We can discuss this off air at the end of the show. I have an idea for what we can do for those tickets.
Okay, awesome. I'm all ears. I'm all ears right now. So yeah, and also Ben comments and says, "Let Cassius play the whole game. It's about cash." No, not. Are you trying to exhaust him already, Ben? No, just let the brother relax and enjoy the night. Get him a few minutes out there just to get his feet wet, but you don't need Cassius Winston, your star player, out there the entire game. And Alex was a little disappointed.
Wrong.
Yeah, totally, Jack. But Alex was a little disappointed saying that he thought that you, he said, dang, thought Jack would come up with the trivia. So, yeah, I just to warm up, I mean, I like caller number four just to start the year off.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, these are the Albion game tickets. This isn't, you know, the hottest ticket we're going to give away all year. We'll improve on the way we give them out as the year goes on. But, you know, this is easy for today.
Exactly. I'm totally with you. Totally with you on that. So, all right, folks. So, again, Michigan State Albion tonight. I'll be there, and you'll have some coverage on our Facebook page and our website later on late tonight, because I probably won't get home until around like 11 o'clock. Okay. Big Ten football power rankings. You know, I want to shift the conversation away from MSU football just a bit here because of, you know, how yesterday's show was. It was pretty much 60 minutes of us discussing the woes of Michigan State football and what has gone wrong with this team. I think that a lot of Spartan fans out there are a bit fed up, and you want to see a coaching change. And no, I'm not talking about the assistants. A lot of people want to see, as much as he's given to this program in this area, in this school, a lot of people want to see a major change and want to see D'Antonio step down after this season. That's just a reality. I'm not going to ignore how you feel in that regard. And I'm kind of there with you. I think that it's gotten to a point now where frustration has reached its peak level, and you know, you are just going to be hitting the ceiling now with the way things stand right now, where I don't know, 7 or 8 wins is probably the best that you can hope for on a year-to-year basis under Coach D. And I just think the expectations are much higher than that right now. Later on this week, we'll get to, you know, the conversation of who you think, you know, should take over, who should Michigan State peg. Again, I'm not confident in no slight against Bill Beekman, but Bill Beekman does not have a lot of AD experience. Okay, if they're going to go a route here where they do know that Mark D'Antonio is going to step down, and they're going to go about trying to find the next head coach, I do believe that Bill Beekman has to look outside the box here and maybe hire a search firm where you legitimately look at cats who like a Luke Fickle. I would love P.J. Fleck. I'm a big P.J. Fleck guy right now. I'm riding that train right now. But look at, my point is to look at legitimate prospects out there. I don't want to see happen with Jack, what you predicted 2 weeks ago, where Mark D'Antonio announces that, yeah, I'm stepping down, and Mike Tressel's going to be my replacement.
No, that would be a disaster. But, okay, so fair enough. So you're a PJ Fleck guy. I'm a Luke Fickell guy.
Fickell's my number two.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about Fleck either. But, you know, my question for you is, do you think Bill Beekman knows who either of those gentlemen are?
He better. Come on, man.
You think Bill Beekman knows who Luke Fickell is?
He better. I'll just say that. Come on, Jack. Like, come on, man. All right. So right now, what I want to do is look at the Big Ten as a whole. Oh, boy. Leave it to Jack, right? Look at the Big Ten as a whole, and I want to give my power rankings as they stand, as things stand, I should say, here on October 29th, 2019. Numero uno. Oh, surprise here. Ohio State. Ohio State, Jack, I think may be the best team in the nation. I don't know, man. This team looks so good in so many different areas. Clicking on all cylinders, a perfect 8-0. The scores have been absolutely outrageous, dominating competition Saturday in and Saturday out. And, you know, the latest victim being Wisconsin, a Wisconsin squad that not long ago looked pretty formidable. The Buckeyes outmuscled the Badgers and just raced past them. 38-7 was the final in that game. And right now, Ohio State, when you look at the point differential between Ohio State and its opponents, 223. And the rest of the Big Ten, a mere 37. 223 to just 37. That's how good this Ohio State team has been this year. And next up, I believe they're on a bye week. Ohio State is on a bye week this weekend. But Ohio State, numero uno, no shocker there. Number two, I'm going with I'm sorry, Jack.
No, you're exactly right. You know what? The only response I would have had is I don't know if I can put them as the number one team in America just because I think LSU has the better resume in terms of they've taken on like three top 10 teams. But no, Ohio State has been easily the most impressive team in the Big Ten. It's not even close. In terms of eye test, they may so far be the most impressive team in that aspect as well. Ryan Day is an offensive genius, and, you know, it looks like no drop-off since losing Urban Meyer.
And that was the big question, right? With Urban Meyer being gone, how good of a coach is Ryan Day? And he's really good right now. And I've even heard rumblings out there that there may be some NFL teams interested in Ryan Day after this season. So, yeah, pretty impressive what he's doing.
That would just be a nightmare if you're a Michigan State fan like me, because that would mean Luke Fickell would probably go to Ohio State.
That's true. Yeah, they may give him a call, and Luke may say, yeah, get me on that gravy train right there. All right, because things are working pretty well out in Columbus, Ohio, despite the fact that Urban Meyer is now behind a mic instead of on the sidelines. Number two, I'm going Penn State. You know, Penn State is also a perfect 8-0. You know, only one team was bad in the rain in East Lansing. And we all know who that team was. Definitely wasn't Penn State. Nittany Lions had 302 yards. They capitalized on every Michigan State mistake that happened. The defense also played very well in that game. Penn State has conceded just 9 touchdowns in 8 games. So 8-0 for Penn State. I'm going number 2 with them. Number 3, Minnesota. The fact that, again, they haven't really played anybody, but the fact that they're 8-0 right now, I'm going with Minnesota. I'm putting Minnesota in that number 3 spot. You know, the Golden Gophers will enter the final month of the season with their record unblemished, you know, and P.J. Fleck has done a great job, I believe, out in Minnesota. The latest win, you know, looking at that 52-10 demolition of Maryland. But now it starts to get, you know, tough. You know, after the bye, Minnesota will play Penn State. So we'll really see how good Minnesota truly is against Penn State. And then Iowa in consecutive weeks. And then a matchup against Wisconsin shortly after. So it is time to really see how good this team is, you know, how far this team can row the boat under P.J. Fleck. It is time to get out the paddles. So number 3, Minnesota for me. Number 4.
Minnesota number 3?
Yeah, I'm going Minnesota number 3.
Oh, that's criminal. But good for you.
8-0.
Yeah.
Got to give it to him at least
okay,
right now.
Okay, fine.
Number 4 for me, and, you know, I battled with this because I was tempted. I was tempted to put Michigan here. I was tempted.
Wait, hang on. So this means that you have Minnesota ranked ahead of Wisconsin?
Right now, but just because they're undefeated. Just because they're undefeated, Jack. I'm going solely off records right now. And what I've seen, but just off records, looking at things. I mean, 8-0 for Minnesota. Give it to them this week. I'm going for Wisconsin right now. 6-2. The Badgers, that loss against Illinois. Just, wow. I'm still just kind of stunned. I can't believe that happened. So, two consecutive losses right now have really dimmed the Badgers' outlook. You know, the 38-7 whipping giving out by Ohio State just reinforced the idea that Wisconsin just is not ready to compete with the elite.
No, and nor will they ever be, probably. They just don't have the talent there.
Right, that's the thing. You know, I liked them before the season started, and I like how they started the year, but they just can't compete on that level. Next, I'm going with the Wolverines. Yeah, I'm putting them there at number five. Michigan sitting at 6-2. As we mentioned on yesterday's show, Jack, I didn't see that 45-14 blowout of Notre Dame coming, but you got to admit they look good. They look good on Saturday.
You know what that win does for me, Al, is it gives credibility to the idea that Michigan came together in the second half against Penn State rather than Penn State just kind of threw the game away because I think James Franklin's a bad coach. It says to me that the players rallied together and, that they believe they still have things to fight for in this season. And obviously the success of the season really comes down to the Ohio State game at this point. But I think knowing that, they are basically eliminated from, all of their goals coming into the year, I think it's impressive for them to play like that against a team like Notre Dame.
I agree because, I was wondering that same thing. That second half against Penn State, where they really...
Was it real or was it fool's gold, right?
Exactly. Was it a fluke? And they came out against Notre Dame and showed that, we got some talent here. And we're not as bad as many people think that we are. So, and just because I want to hear your Imani Bates story, I'm going to fly through the rest of my list here. I'm going 6, Iowa, 7, Indiana, 8, Illinois, 9, Michigan State, 10, Nebraska, 11, Purdue, 12, Maryland, 13, Northwestern, and 14, Rutgers. So that's where I'm at with the rest of my list. I'll expound upon those.
You don't have to. You really don't have to. You really don't have to. Those teams aren't really worth talking about.
Well, this is how I feel too, Jack. Like, you look at the Big Ten this year, it's really Ohio State and everybody else for me.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
I agree with you. I mean, technically, I guess I can't say that about Penn State yet because they haven't gone and lost to Ohio State yet. But I give them no chance to win that game in the shoe. And, I mean, I think anyone who listens to this show regularly knows my thoughts on James Franklin. So
yeah, I know. You hate him. You hate him.
He's a great recruiter. He is.
Did you do something to your Cheerios one morning, man?
No, I'm
you just don't like him.
I do not believe in him as a head coach. I do not.
Okay. All right. Final break. When we come back, we'll touch upon Imani Bates and this SI cover story and we'll get Jack's thoughts on what he thought of Imani Bates when he saw him in person in the state championship game a year ago. That and more, we put a bow on today's current sports when we come back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Line 1, Ray from Indiana. I know Ray has something to say about what happened this weekend in the world of Big Ten college football. Ray, what's up?
That offense of yours is the worst offense I've seen in college football history.
In the history of college, and you've been watching college football for a long time, Ray. That's the worst you've ever seen.
Maybe it ain't that bad, but I'll tell you what. The only way you're going to beat the Bullies this year, you're going to have like about 4 years ago when you went down there. You're going to need 5 turnovers, a monsoon rain, and then I don't know if it'll be enough. You remember that year you roll over to one of the Michigan tacklers to get a first down? That's the only first down you got in the second half?
Yep, exactly.
You're going to need something like that.
Right. That's
you're
going to
need a miracle, buddy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
You know what? Penn State, that guy dropped that touchdown pass that would have sent it into overtime. All of a sudden, the Bullies are playing great. I'll tell you what, the Buckeyes better not go in there. I remember 1969, nobody'd come. Ohio State never come within four touchdowns of getting beat, and they lost 24-12. They better not take them for granted when they go in there, because I don't think they're going to lose another game. But remember one thing, Jimmy. There will be no Big Ten title. There will be no conference title. And there won't be no Rose Bowl. And there won't be no national championship. So goodbye, Jimmy. It's almost time to leave.
Ray from Indiana always bringing the heat. I love it. And you know what? Michigan is clicking right now, Jack. But I don't think that matchup against Ohio State is going to be close. I still think the Buckeyes are going to win by double digits in that game.
No, I agree with you. And to Ray's point, I mean, it's the last team they're going to face before or it's the last team Michigan's going to face the rest of the year. And I think they'll blow through everyone else. And then I don't think it'll be particularly close against the Buckeyes.
Definitely. All right, 90 seconds left. Do your homework for tomorrow's Current Sports, because I want to have a conversation about Imani Bates and the hype train that is Imani Bates. The kid is remarkable. He is so mature. Listening to his interviews, watching his highlight tapes. And there's an SI piece entitled Meet Imani Bates, Magic Michael LeBron. Imani Bates, meet the 15-year-old next in line. Yeah, the hype machine is real when it comes to Imani. I got some points to make when it concerns him. When it left, though, you saw him in person. What were your thoughts on watching Imani Bates in person, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very, very impressive prospect, just because, more so than anything at this point, probably just the physical maturity when I saw him. Because, you know, how many freshmen in high school are 6 feet 10 inches? And, you know, watching him last season, he was very raw in terms of his ability, just because he was a freshman in high school. But he's already physically mature at that age, you know, to be almost 7 feet tall. So I think the sky's the limit for him. He's going to be incredible. And, you know, 2 years from now, when he's like a senior in high school, I can't even imagine what he's going to look like.
Yeah, in 2 years from now, you know, I think it'll be in place where you can jump straight from high school to the NBA. That's where a lot of schools aren't recruiting him. So we'll talk about that and more tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening. Be easy, people.